Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, young men. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, young ladies. Everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. He is worthy. He is worthy. I come to lift up your name today, Jesus. You are the reason why we live. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us here today. We are so blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So good. So good to feel God. I don't know, I've often wondered, and I wonder if you as young people have ever wondered, and I know you don't want to feel it, but have you ever wondered what it would be like not to feel God? You know, it wouldn't be too hard to see an example of one that doesn't feel God. Just take a walk on a street somewhere and look at a bunch of empty faces, people going nowhere fast. But I'm thankful that I can feel God. Not only can I feel God, but I can know God. Praise God. God has made himself real to every one of you young people under the sound of my voice. We are blessed. We are blessed. Praise God. It's a privilege to stand before such a great group of young people. Many that I look before today are not just what we refer to as young people, but you are men and women of the church today. Praise God. Don't ever let anyone convince you that you are the church of tomorrow. You are the church of right now. Praise God. I believe what stands before me is a spiritual military unit. You are God's army. And God has equipped you with great power. I believe what stands before us here this morning is an army that has the ability to turn your cities upside down for the cause of the kingdom of God. I want to encourage, I want to help, I want to strengthen you this morning. And I believe that in this service, if you will listen to the voice of God, I believe there are those young ladies and young men that are going to get direction from God today. I believe there's some of you this morning that you have desire, but yet you have struggles also. And I believe that God wants to take you beyond the struggle. And he wants to put you in a dimension of his spirit today, that you can see yourself where God's plan and God's design for you to be, to come to fruition. Thank you, Brother Sergeant, for your illustrated sermon this morning. I did not know. I walked up here and told Brother Sergeant, I said, you're not going to believe this, but you just used my text. So there's a lot of things I'm just going to be able to leave out today, because he already illustrated to you what I'm going to preach to you. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. And I'm not going to have to explain it all to you either, because he did a very good job of explaining what happened on this day. Verse 3 of the book of Acts chapter 1, if you have it, shout amen. Amen. Let us read. Now Peter and John went up together. Everyone say together. Into the temple at the hour of prayer, being about the ninth hour or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have you, I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. That's the way it's supposed to be. When you go to church, things are supposed to happen. One other scripture verse I want to read. Acts chapter 13, verse number 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation, after David had served his own generation. Praise God. I want the Lord to talk to me today. How about you? Put your Bibles down. I want you to lift your hands in the air, and I want you to ask God, "God, talk to my heart today. God, cheer, oh God, this place with your presence. I pray, God, today that you would anoint my feeble lips of clay. I pray, God, that you would give me the ability to preach to these young people what you've designed for them today to hear. I know, God, that it's your desire to use every young man, every young lady in this kingdom today. I pray, God, that you would encourage. I pray, God, that you would lift up. I pray, God, direction would fall. I pray, God, today that your will would be accomplished, that these hearts that are gathered together will not just hear from you, but will heed your word and will go forth from this day forward and begin to do a work in the kingdom that you've designed for them to do as individuals. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give the Lord praise for what he is going to do in you today. I want to preach a message that I feel in my heart that God is wanting to bring to each and one and every one of us an understanding. I don't know how many of you here today have grown up in this, or how many today have been blessed to have had someone come and lead you to this apostolic church. But whether you were born in this from your mother's womb, or you were brought and you were born in an altar, as all of us had to be born, or you were brought, somebody invited you and you came and you heard the preaching of the word and something preached and the Spirit of God that was in the house moved you to an altar. Whether we were born in this from the womb or we were born in this being brought in, every one of us came the same way. We all had to come to an altar of repentance. We all had to go by way of baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. We all received the baptism of the Holy Ghost the same way. We spake with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. We all received John's revelation that he gave to us concerning Jesus and Nicodemus. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Because each one of us has came through the same door, and every one of us have received it the same way, I want you to know it does not matter what the devil tries to convince you about what you cannot do in the kingdom of God. Every single one of you, I said every single individual in this house, you are a candidate to be used of God in a special way. I believe it was God's design from the very beginning of creation that you would be used today in this hour for the work of God to this generation. A very simple title: Going Beyond. You know, sometimes we just need to go a little further. Going beyond, it's just church. Going beyond, it's just church. Praise God. You may be seated. I don't know if you've ever went to the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, and you've ever begun to study out the very creation of Almighty God. But it's amazing that we see the God that we serve took nothing and created everything that you see with your naked eye. Can you imagine God in the beginning creating this beautiful heaven and this gorgeous, beautiful earth? But yet it came to pass by His spoken word. He spoke the word, and I want you to know the sun began to shine. The earth began to have light, the moon and the stars. The word was spoken, and landmass appeared. And I'm not going to take a long time to go through the creation of God, but when He created the animal kingdom and the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea, what He created was good, and He liked what He saw. But when He stooped to the earth and He formed mankind in His image, it was His supreme creation. It was the very thing that it was in the heartbeat of God to do, because this creation was the one that He was going to walk with, that He would commune with, He would fellowship with. Oh, this be the creation that would spend an eternity with God in His home, the place that we as young people are attaining, amen, to go to and to literally obtain. Heaven is a real place, and it was prepared for you. And don't allow anything to keep you from that place. We look at the creation, but yet we've also read the back of the book. But to recognize the plan of God and to recognize that you have fit into that plan, don't let anybody try to bring to you and convince you and beguile you and preach another message that will cause you to go astray from this place that God has prepared for you. But the creation of God being of such a beautiful thing, many of us do not recognize the purpose and the reason. But as God's plan began to unfold, it began to unfold with purpose. We may not understand everything that happens within our lives. Hello. But I want you to know, you need to keep trusting God. You may not know why this took place in my home, why this is going and happening in my family or in my church or in my youth group, but you just need to keep trusting God, that God knows knows what He's doing, and that God's still in control. Hello? I said God is still in control. It may not be going the way you would like it to go, but just keep trusting God. Just keep being faithful. I said keep being faithful. Stand behind the man of God that fills your pulpit. Hello? I said there's something that you as young people have got to remember. Don't let anything or anybody keep you from the goal that you've set before you. Heaven is real, and there are going to be those that are going to go there. Why don't you get in the number? Hallelujah. You may be seated. Sin has a way of defeating your purpose. Sin, when it was conceived with the very purpose of bringing a division between you and your God. I can just imagine each and every one of you that are under the sound of my voice today. You're not perfect, neither was I. We're not perfect. We're striving to perfection. Hello. But I want to remind you that your failures are not final. You can get up, dust yourself off, and go forward again in Jesus. I want you to know the devil will try to convince you that you made a mistake and that your mistake's final and that mistake's going to keep you from the desire of your heart. Hogwash. The devil's a liar and a father of them all. You can get back on your feet. You can go forward in Jesus, and you can still claim those promises and your desires that you have in God. But it was sin that separated man from God. It was sin that caused man to detour from the path that he was walking. It was sin that was keeping man out of the glory and out of the presence of Almighty God. It was sin that was taking man in a direction that it was not God's intent, nor God's purpose, nor God's plan. But it was sin that was taking man in a direction that God did not plan for man to go. When man fell into sin, his unrighteousness, his ungodliness, I believe it literally caused God to want to put a hand, if I can use this illustration, of over his eyes, because he did not purpose for man to fall into this pit that he had fallen into. But thank God for mercy and grace. Oh, thank God for mercy, and thank God for grace. When sin demands a penalty, thank God mercy overshadowed that. Amen. And thank God that mercy stopped. Amen. Judgment and grace found its place in your heart and in mine. Thank God that it was because of the blood of Calvary that washed your sins and my sins, cleansed you and cleansed me from the filth of the sin and its purpose, which is death. I want you to know, every one of you young men, you've set this week, and we're not through yet. We've got some glorious services before us. But I want you young men on these back rows, I know that it's not your purpose to sit back there. Amen. But you'd like to be on the front like all the rest. But it's the early bird that gets the worm. But I want you to know, young ladies on the back row, don't let that devil intimidate you and say because you're sitting on the back row, there's an image that you've got to show for. I want you to know what we are trying to identify with is Jesus Christ. Hello? Who said the back row can't worship like the front row? Who said the new convert can't get excited like the saint of God that's been in church for 15 years? Who said fact that God can't use you. I've only been in the church for 3 weeks, preacher. But oh, I'm telling you, God does not choose who He will use according to how long you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Or what your last name is. Or where He brought you out of. Or how many times you failed. I'm preaching to some young people here this morning. You've got to get beyond it's just church. You've got to get beyond it's just prayer meeting. You've got to get beyond it's just youth service. You've got to get beyond it's just senior camp. Oh, no, 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 no. I'll tell you what it all is. It's a divine appointment with God. This senior camp has been on that calendar in the throne room of God for a long time. He knew there was young people that we're going to be here, that He was going to pick your number and give that preacher a message that touched your heart, that when you were going to leave, His divine purpose was going to be in operation in you. Oh, I got to come down to where you are. You've got to understand. You don't have to be a preacher's kid to be used by God. Hello. Some of you think, oh, but my daddy, he's an alcoholic. Some of you think, oh, my mama, she's a drug addict, and God will never use me. I want you to know, He'll use you. He'll use you. He'll use you. Hello! Young ladies, you hear this preacher this morning. I'm telling you, the devil's lied to many of you. You may be seated. The devil's lied to a lot of you young ladies, I believe, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to know there's some of you young ladies that God's beginning to touch your heart, and God's beginning to show you some things He's wanting to use you in. And oh, some of you, you may have felt God impress upon you. He wants you to be a preacher's wife. He wants you to be an evangelist's wife. He wants you to be a missionary's wife. And you're saying, but oh, Todd, what about my dysfunctional family? My mom and my daddy aren't in the church. I want you to know something. My wife, I met her at a senior youth camp. Good things happen at senior youth camp. She's not here this morning. She had to go home. She's coming back. So if you want to go and ask her if this is true, go ahead. But I want you to know her mama and her daddy. I want you to know they were in the church in Fresno, California. And and her father was a board member on Brother Von Morton's board. But I want you to know that when we got married, they were backslid. They were not living for God. I want you to know the devil could have convinced her, you can't marry a preacher. Because your mom and your daddy are backslid and they're not living for God. But there was something in her heart that she got for herself that said, I believe God can use me. I want you to know there's got to come a point in time where you get beyond all of your excuses of why you're not doing what you need to do and say, God, use me. But you've got to get beyond it's just church. Please be seated. Hear me, young ladies. Hear me. You're hearing a pastor's heart today. I see young people every day that struggle within themselves because they feel dysfunctional. Because they were not raised in a home that was godly. But they've got a TV. And please, just understand what I'm saying. They've got a television in their home. And oh, every time they walk through their living room, because they've got unsaved parents or an unsaved daddy, and they walk in, and because that television is in their home, they don't feel that God can use them because they don't have a praying daddy. They don't have a praying mama. Their parents aren't going to church. I want you to hear this, preacher. God's got His hand
hand on some of you young ladies that the devil's convinced you that you cannot be used in the kingdom of God. I'm preaching to some young ladies here today that God's got His hand on your life. You need to let God direct you. You need God to lead you and quit hanging on to all of your excuses. It's just church tonight. Oh no, it's not just church, but it's a divine appointment from God. And God's wanting to talk to your heart this morning. It's not time, young ladies, to go to church and it just be a fashion show. You just hang on, man. I'm coming. Come on, young ladies. You got to get beyond that place where you're worrying about if he's looking at the other girls in the church. Come on. Come on. Let God have control of your life. And when you give God control, that may not be the one that God chose for you. But if it is, quit worrying about it. Come on, young people. You get worried about all the wrong things. Quit worrying about how you look. Dress godly. That's all you need to worry about. You may not be able to shop at Robinson's May Company. You may not be able to go to Saks Fifth Avenue. You may be able to buy your clothes at Target or Walmart. But don't worry about that. God does not look at what you're wearing. As long as it's godly. Don't come to the house of God and hide yourself away because you don't have the latest fashion. You need to get out of that aisle like everybody else and say, God, I'm waiting for that appointed time that you've designed in my life. You may be seated. We're going beyond it's just church. We're going beyond the fashion show. Hello, young ladies, there needs to be something that gets a hold of your heart. Your attitude is this. God, you have placed me into this kingdom. And you placed me here with purpose. Hello, God's placed you in this church with purpose. His purpose was not for you to fight against His will. His purpose was not for you within your local assembly to gather together your personal clique to exclude the other young ladies in your group. But His purpose was for you as a young lady to bind together. Oh, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. I want you to hear this preacher. It's about time that the youth group gets together. Hello, it's time that you quit hanging out in your clique and saying because you don't wear the type of clothes we wear. Hello, because you don't have, hello, you don't have a... Come on, get rid of that excuse of why you're barren. And man, you're keeping. You've got, oh, God help me today. I'm trying to preach to somebody. I hope today that I'm not offending anyone that's here in the house. But I hope you're hearing the Spirit. Amen. It's talking to you today because God's got a purpose for your youth group. God's got a purpose for your youth group in your city. You may be seated. You know, you need to get beyond, well, there's just, I'm the only youth. We only have a half a dozen. We only have a dozen. You need to get beyond that mentality. One could put 1,000 to flight.
you who can put 10,000 to flight. Two or three are gathered together in my name. Oh, you don't understand the power that the scriptures revealed unto this youth group here today. I'm talking about your individual youth group. Oh, it's easy to shout when you've got youth groups all across the district, California and Nevada. Oh, it's a lot easier to get lost in the multitude of young people and cut a rug and worship and get lost in the spirit. But I'm talking about taking this home with you. It may just be you. It may just be a handful. But oh, what you young people could do in your church. Hear me. Your pastor needs you. I said, your pastor needs you, young ladies. Because I want you to know, the men of God recognize the strength of the youth of the church. I said, the pastor recognizes the strength of his youth. Young people, you can turn the tide of revival in your church. You can start off before church an hour in the prayer room. An hour in the house of God, and coming out of that prayer room, there can be such an explosive. You talk about Holy Ghost fire. You get young people on fire for God. You'll have people coming in. You'll have people asking what's going on in the church, because young people have a way of influencing God that nobody else does. We need to quit worrying when the Spirit begins to move about, you know, kind of messing up our hairdo. We need to quit worrying about, you know, what are they going to think? Hello? You know what you need to understand? Is that all it takes is one to ignite a blazing inferno. Hello? Hello? You know, you may have a youth group that, you know, is just kind of on the outs with this spiritual stuff. They don't want to pray. They don't want to fast. They're not faithful. But they sit in the back of the church and they cause all type of havoc for the pastor. Pastor's doing his very best to have a move of God. I want you to, you know what you need to do? You need to take that as a challenge. But let me tell you something. Those young people that's sitting in the back, and I'm not talking about those of you here today, because this is an elite group of youth. You're at senior camp, and the elite comes to senior camp. Whether you're sitting on the front row or the back row, you're the elite. Hello. I already said there's only so many seats on the front row. These guys get here early. And you know what, men? There's only so many showers, and so you got to wait your turn. I'm speaking in your defense. Hello. But I want you young ladies to hear this preacher today. I'm preaching to you from a pastor's heart. I've got young people in my church. They go through the same things you go through. But I want you to understand, it's time today to make up your mind that when you go home, you're going to stir up something in your youth group. You start stirring up some Holy Ghost fire. I want you to know it's not going to be long until the back seats start emptying. Hello. And they start moving up to the front. Why? Because when they thought they were in the in crowd, they start noticing we're not in the in crowd anymore. I'm losing all my buddies because there's something happening. What's happening is there's a youth group that's got on fire. And I want you to know, when someone gets on fire, it starts catching a hold of the one next to you. And pretty soon, it starts impacting, it starts affecting those in the back. What's taking place? They're recognizing that it's not the end thing to be on the outs, but what's in is being involved in what God is doing in your youth group. It's time for our young ladies to step up to the forefront. Hello. It's time for you young ladies to step up to the forefront and not wait for the preacher to beg you to worship God. Yeah. You need to get in the trenches. That's the front line. And don't let it be that your pastor has to beg you to get in unity together. Uh-huh. Oh, what are you preaching on, Brother Hale? I'm preaching on you're going beyond. I mean, it's just church. Oh, Brother Hale, that's a silly message. Oh, no, it's not. When you recognize what church is all about, when God brought His church together, He's told Simon Peter, He said, Peter, upon this rock of revelation, upon this message of understanding, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're not talking about a building of four walls. We're talking about a group of young ladies and young men, the body of Christ, that hell cannot defeat. Hell cannot even push you back. When you get on fire for God, there's nobody in or out of hell that can stop a youth group that's on fire for God. Oh, come on, young ladies, you're sitting there and you're letting the devil tell you this is youth camp, but you're going to go home and it's going to be the same old thing. Oh, no, it's not. Get something in your spirit that says, I'm taking this spirit with me. I'm defeating that spirit of intimidation today. Amen. Ladies, let me go to the men for a little bit. I'll be right back. Young ladies, let me just... I'm coming back. That's what MacArthur said. I shall return. I'm looking across this congregation of young ladies, I see godly women. I see godly women sitting on that back row. I see godly women sitting on this front row. I see godly ladies back there on that back row. Hello. I want you to know what you need to do when you go home is you get behind your pastor's wife like you've never gotten behind her again. Don't say that's for the older ladies to do. Oh, no. Come on, young ladies. If you'll get behind the preacher's wife and you stand behind her, hello, I want you to know there will be a strength that will erupt in that church that will literally cause hell to shudder. Oh, you believe what I'm saying. It'll happen. You just do it. All right, young men, I'm telling you, we don't need no weak wrist young men in the church. We need godly men in this church. We need men that's got a backbone. You say, oh, but Brother Hale, I've fought this same old devil over and over again. What you need to do is get in an altar and pray until Holy Ghost boldness falls on you. Let me tell you young men something. You may not have recognized this, but a lot of times the young ladies of the church follow the young men. And when you get spiritual, they get spiritual. Why? Because they're the weaker vessel. They're looking for young men in their congregation that's going to lead them into prayer meetings. Hello? Oh, come on now. Don't sit there and think you're cool and think you're bad. You ain't nothing. What you need to do is get you a relationship with God that's going to take you to a realm of the Spirit that'll make you bad. I want you young men to hear this, preacher. Anybody can smoke a cigarette. Anybody can drink down a bottle of Coors Light. But it takes a man to say, no, I'm not going that way. I'm not going in that direction. Hear me, young men. Forgive me for being so plain. But you better quit taking advantage over the young ladies of the church.
thinking you can put your hands all over them. Keep your hands off of those young ladies. They're not yours. They're God's. I thank God for what Brother Mitchell preached last night. I want you to know, young ladies, you protect your bodies. And if you have to, you need to double up your fist and you need to co-cock that dummy. Come on. We don't need young men that takes advantage of the young ladies. Hello. We need young men, men that care about their sister. We'll treat them like a sister. You know, you may be seated. I want you to know that some young men that are here tonight or today, that God's got His hand on your life. Some of you that God's already called you into the ministry and you're fighting it. Because the devil's convinced you, you don't have the ability. I want you to hear this preacher. I don't have the ability either. But before I stand behind any pulpit, you better hear me. The first thing I pray before I go to a pulpit is, God, you know my inability. I don't have ability, but I want to make myself available to the kingdom of God. And if you can use anybody, you can use me. I don't care what your last name is. You may not be a preacher's son. Hello. Your grandfather may not have been in the ministry. You may have come, as I said to our young ladies, from a family. Your dad is an alcoholic. Hello. Drugs may have infested your home. But I'm here to tell you, God is not choosing just a select few. He's looking across the broad base and saying, I'm going to use him. He doesn't come and say, well, what's your past been like? He knows. But thank God for His blood, for it hides a multitude of sins. He's not using those against you. He'll call you. He'll empower you. He'll put His ministry in you. You may be seated. Let me preach to some of you young people here tonight or today that you're preacher's kids. I'm telling you, preacher's kids, you better hear this, preacher. I wasn't raised in a preacher's home. The biggest thing I thought when God called me to the ministry at a camp was that I didn't have family that was in the ministry. Oh, yeah. I want you to know that when God began to move upon me, and I was so intimidated of stepping out in faith, believing that God called me. I was the kind of young person, even though I knew that there was a call of God in my life. In the old way, you used to have, you know, testimony service, and I used to hide in the pew, fearful of being called on. Fearful of saying the wrong thing, and fearful of making a fool of myself. I want you to know you need to get beyond your intimidation and realize that God put you the Holy Ghost in you, and God's given you a power and anointing. Hello, that you may not have the ability, but God's going to make you what He designed for you to be. He'll put it in you. Hello, I want you to know you cannot upon yourself have any ability without God. But if God is in it, look out, devil, look out. All right, preacher's sons, preacher's daughters, come on, I want you to know hell has unleashed itself upon you with a purpose. Number one, He's trying to defeat your mama and your daddy from doing the work in the kingdom of God. If He can keep them occupied with all that you're doing, hello, hello, He's going to take them away from the call of God and the kingdom. I'll tell you why. Because your family, your mama, your daddy, they have a love for you that's greater than anything else, and they don't want to see their children lost.
I'm going to have to quickly go on. You need to get behind your daddy. You need to get behind your mama, preacher's kids.
Hello. I said, you need to get behind them with all your heart. There's something that needs to, today, needs to whelm up with inside of you that says from this day forward, my mama and my daddy, they can count on me. I'm not going to give them any more trouble, but I'm going to walk it, I'm going to talk it, and I'm going to live it.
Hear me, young men. Let me get beyond the preacher's children here today. I have a love for preacher's kids because I've got two. And I want you to know they're everything to me. But I want you others to hear me today. There's some of you that are here, young men, that are under the sound of my voice, that you've been fighting some things, and the reason why you're fighting it is because the devil knows the potential that you have in the ability to do a work in the city that you live in. I want you to know there's some young men that I'm looking at here this morning. You've got an ability to turn your school, your workplace upside down. Because when you get the Holy Ghost, you have a power of influence that nobody else has.
But you got to go beyond it's just church.
It's not just church. It's a divine appointment with God. God's calendar. He's got this day already marked, and He already knows His design for the day. And you know what? You're in His day. He's trying to get a hold of your heart because there's some things that you're fooling around with that you know better. It's time that you make up your mind in the house of God today. You know what? Preacher, you're right. I got to get beyond it's just church. I want this group of young people to hear Pastor Hale today, the evangelist of the hour today. I want you to know if this group of young people will go beyond it's just church. My God, what could take place in the assembly that we gather in. You talk about everyone walking into the doors, not leaving without the power of the Holy Ghost in them. I want you to know that's God's divine purpose. You talk about healing. You talk about miracles. I want you to know the lame will walk. The blinded eyes will be opened. The deaf ears will be unstopped. Hello. I want you to know cancer will be healed. Hello. I want you to know we have a divine appointment today in this service, and God is trying to get you to recognize it's more than just church.
You may be seated. You see, Brother Mullins, Peter and John was just going to church. Just going to church. The Bible tells me that this lame man had been there for a long time. Daily, they brought him. But Peter and John went up together into the temple. When? The hour of prayer. It's just prayer. Pastor, is it just prayer tonight? Just prayer? You see, you got to get to that place where you have an understanding of what prayer is about. Prayer pulls down the strongholds of hell. Prayer can literally cause the gates of hell to fall. Prayer can literally cause the chains of bondage to fall at the feet of its victim. Prayer prayer can literally bridge the gap to where the doors of your sanctuary are opened. And there are youth that walk in by the scores because prayer has drawn them to your church. Prayer will cause you to be sensitive to those around you and be able to speak a word to one that you see in the supermarket, the one that you see at the store, the one that you see at the bank, the one you see in your school corridor, the one you see in the break room on your job. Prayer will cause you to be sensitive to say, you know, God's talked to me about you, and God wants me to tell you that He has something for your life. What are you saying, Brother Hale? What I'm saying is prayer is one of the most important things that you need to get a hold of in your walk with God. You know what prayer will do? Prayer will empower you with the gifts of the Spirit, and they will become in operation in the church among the young people, where you can lay hands on the sick and the sick will be recovered. Hello. Hey, prayer will put you in a place where you can literally cast a demon out of a young man, a young lady. Prayer will empower you to give you the right words to say that'll bring the drug addict in the church and I'll cause them to pray through at an altar. Peter and John, you know, this kind of, you may be seated. This kind of helps me to see that this wasn't the first time that they went to the temple to pray. Because it said that they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Meaning that they were just used to going to pray. But on this day, God had a design for this lame man to be healed. How many times you young people being so intimidated by the devil that when God in His design has an appointment to use you and the devil says, not you, and you walk by a miracle ready to happen. Peter and John, they could have said, you know what, we don't have time. Prayer meeting starts at 3 o'clock, and we can't be late. I'll tell you what happened when they stopped. And they didn't judge the man for his condition. You know, too many of us, we look at people and say, I don't know if I want them in my youth group. You know, I don't think the church will approve of this one. Hello, who cares? I said, who cares what anybody else thinks? That's a soul. And if God impresses upon your mind, stop and talk to that soul. Tell that soul, amen, God got a plan for your life. Oh, but you don't understand, I'm lame. That don't matter to God. God can not only, amen, heal you of being lame, but God can put His Spirit in you, and God can fill you, and God can change you, and God can use you. But so many of us say, I don't have anything to give. I don't have anything to give. And that's our excuse. And we go on. Peter and John looked at one another and said, I ain't got no money. But such as I have, give I thee. Oh, that could preach for another hour, but I don't have time. I want you to know you got something that the world's looking for. You got something that your youth in the city you live in are looking for. Hello. You got what those that sit on the back row of the church need to have. It's time for you to get it in operation. Let the Spirit of God get a hold of you where there's a fire that'll break out in you that can ignite the one that's sitting next to you. Hello. That'll ignite the entire youth group. That'll eventually ignite the entire church body. Don't sit there and say, well, the adults would worship, I'll worship. Well, come on. You need to get out there and do it for yourself. You want to ignite the adults of your congregation? Get the youth on fire. You want your preacher to preach? You catch on fire. He'll catch on fire. The church will catch on fire. And you will not be able to keep those without from coming in. You know, when they come to your church, they're coming expecting to receive. Do not be the one guilty of not giving them what they wanted. The Bible says he took him. I like that. Whoa. I like that. Here, brother, grab a chair. And I'm coming to a quick close here. They're the sinner sitting in the pew. And you're getting your blessing. And you are praying down the glory. And that sinner is feeling it. But he doesn't understand what he's feeling. He heard the preacher preach. And it stirred up his heart. And he knows there's something about this church that's different than any other church he's ever been to. He feels within his heart. He wants what he feels. He likes what he sees. He likes what he hears. And all of a sudden, you're getting your blessing. And he's watching you. And oh, he's thinking, if I can, you say, well, he didn't tell me that. They normally don't tell you what they're thinking. But he's thinking, I wish I could get a hold of something. Whatever they've got, I want it. And you're getting your blessing. And God's anointing you. But he's not just anointing you so you can be one that says, I'm greedy with what God's given. He wants you to go get them and say, hey, I want you to know that what I got you can have. He may look at you and say, I don't want what you got. But deep down he's saying, oh, I'm hungry for what you've got. Come on, I'm telling you. You want the joy? God will give you the joy. If you want peace, God will give you some peace. But it comes with the Holy Ghost. Come on. I want you to come up with me. And I want you to start feeling a little bit what I'm feeling. You say, Pastor, it goes a little further than that. Yes, it does. But what I'm trying to get across to you today, that God is wanting you to impart to those around you what God's given you today. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. The Bible said they took him up by the right hand and lifting him. You know, young people, you need to defeat that spirit of negativism. When you go to church, get negativism out of your vocabulary. Why did the preacher ask me to play the drums tonight? Why did the preacher ask me to sing a special tonight? You need to get out beyond that and say, I don't care who's singing. I don't care who's playing. I'm going to get behind them. And I'm going to worship God.
Because what we've got, we got to give. How many is ready to go beyond? It's just church.